Last September, I interviewed writer and musician Sarah Pinsker on her speculative fiction novel, A Song for a New Day. The premise of her novel should sound eerily familiar to all of us now. A global pandemic makes public gatherings illegal, and for musicians, concerts are impossible and become a thing of the past. Here is part of that interview. The world you've envisioned, widespread domestic terrorism along with deadly viruses, has led to a scarred nation where everyone lives and works in seclusion. There are many stringent laws meant to keep people safe, and many people turn to living in virtual reality, where Hood Space is the online realm that you've created. This world feels, and I don't really want to say imminent because I really don't want it to happen, but it feels like it could happen. Tell us a little bit more about the state of the world in A Song for a New Day.
Well, I think you're right about it feeling imminent, and I feel bad about that a little bit. My view of science fiction is always that it's, and speculative fiction in general, is that whatever world you're putting it in, it's still a commentary on what's going on right now. So this was a world that felt plausible to me. It is near future, and it's an extension of sort of an if this goes on type thing. So it was easy enough to envision, even when I started writing this, which was, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't hard to envision a world where people were too scared to go out. And, you know, you can't blame them, but also you don't want that to happen.
The idea of no public performances, no concerts, must be like a worst nightmare for musicians and music lovers. Where did the idea for this come from?
I started messing with this a few years ago. My story that won the Nebula was called Our Lady of the Open Road, and that also followed one of these characters. I guess I had, it is kind of a worst case scenario for me, but also something that you can see happening when you go to shows and they're, you know, small shows and there are fewer people there, or you see what happens to musicians' sales when there's streaming available and people stream things instead of buy them. And you know, there's room for both, but musicians get paid less. And so I just sort of started following it down the road to what would happen if musicians, you know, if it became too hard to make a living. And then I was trying to think of what would get them there truly. But yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's a horrible, tragic thing, to the idea that you can't play and you can't make those connections.
You're a musician. What does performing live mean to you?
I love it. Readings are sort of similar but tamer, but anytime you get a chance to interact with people in that particular way, it's like a really interesting conversation with a stranger who you didn't expect to meet. Like your audience is, there's this great feedback from the audience when it's going well, and there's this energy that you can feed on like a vampire. And really, really good performers do it really well. I put myself somewhere lower down that list, but I love it.
That was our interview with Sarah Pinsker from last September. It's been hard to listen to the news the past few weeks without thinking about Sarah's book, so I checked in with her to find out what's been on her mind now that her novel and real-life events are unfolding in parallel. So first of all, how's your health? How are you doing with the quarantines and social distancing?
I'm doing okay. For me personally, there isn't, in this particular week, I was supposed to be at a bunch of conferences that I'm not at, but it's not as of yet any different than most weeks of this winter when I was trying to finish a book on deadline. And had sort of isolated myself to try to do that in any case. I will notice it soon, I'm sure, but right at this moment, weird in concept, but hasn't quite sunk in, I think.
Yeah. I've been thinking about your book, A Song for a New Day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and yeah, ever since the cancellations and social distancing and quarantine started, so many similarities. This must be on your mind too.
Yeah, it's remarkably similar. Yeah. There are some things I got wrong too, but a whole bunch that I got right, which is really weird. It wasn't meant to be nonfiction.
So one thing in your book you noted is that in your story, the music venues are all canceling, and people move to doing kind of online virtual reality concerts. And I noticed that that's some people are actually doing that now. That's a scenario that you came up with in your book.
Yes, and I got the action right and the motivations wrong.
Oh, how so? Yeah.
Because in the book, the closings were out of fear. And I think if we say the closings are out of fear right now, that is not the case. I would say the closings are a tremendous and tragic act of community. I think it is tragically beautiful is what I mean to say. Like I think that it is that we have to look at it as everyone banding together to protect community, to protect healthcare workers who are working valiantly and already overwhelmed, and to protect the vulnerable people among us who, you know, might not be the one to go to the show that night, but, you know, might be the person who touches the doorknob next in the at the doctor's office or whatever.
Right.
You know, this is an act of beautiful protection, and it's terrifying and also wonderful. And the people who are doing the live concerts right now online are also community building and reaching out to people and making people feel less isolated. And I think that's a special thing as well. In the book, one company had sort of taken all of that and monetized it and made it so that you could only see the shows that they say that you should see. And, you know, the bands are kind of working for them. And so right now what you're seeing is musicians who have lost their way of life overnight looking for new ways to do things. And whether that's, you know, opening a PayPal or Venmo way of tipping them, or doing personal concerts, or doing music lessons. Here in Baltimore, there is a venue, the Creative Alliance, that just announced that they're partnering with local musicians to you can book a live concert to come to your street and just play a couple of songs for you from the street.
Oh, wow.
And the money will go back to the venue to help keep them around, and also to the musician.
Great.
So I think there are these amazing acts of solidarity that are happening right now. And as long as it doesn't become, only the artists that name big company endorses,
right.
Like, then, as long as it's still grassroots and people are seeing it, then I think it's a community building thing and not the dangerous thing that Luce was railing against.
Right. So we've just covered what musicians are doing now and ways that we can actually support musicians during this time. But you're also a writer. Is there anything that writers are doing now or that readers can be doing to help support writers?
Oh, absolutely. So first of all, there's a lot of very disappointed debut authors who may have just had their first books come out or just about to, their books are about to launch and they were about to go on tour and they can't tour now either. So there are going to be a bunch of online online events like that as well. I know the Science Fiction Writers of America and Reddit's subreddit, which is r fantasy, are teaming up to do a whole bunch of book release events and some virtual panels and stuff. But also supporting local bookstores and keeping them alive is critical. Again, I can speak for Baltimore and say that I know that at least three of my local bookstores, Greedy Reads, Ivy, and Atomic Books are all doing, you know, they've still got some people in there who are doing deliveries to people and mailing books, and buying from your local indie is super helpful. There's a site called Libro.fm, which is audiobooks, but the proceeds go to your local indies. And all of that helps the book ecosystem keep going. And so it helps the authors as well.
That's writer and musician Sarah Pinsker. Her book, A Song for a New Day, was published last fall. Check it out for an interesting take on a not-so-distant future.